Oh, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today, right now, is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening live, come on over to the chat room at First Amendment Radio, and studio cam is on, and we're looking at the chat room. Take any comments, questions, anything anyone has. I really don't have a topic today, so I'm going to just probably talk about some news items and whatever shows up in the chat room. Testing, huh? Smoke is testing in the chat room. I hope that means everything's working all right. We got good sound. Everything looks good here. So, on with the show. Let's see. I found an article on Technocracy News. And this one is Francis, Antichrist Pope Francis, calls for a new economy. And this is one of my favorite pictures of Pope Francis here. Let me put that on the screen for y'all. And you can see Pope Francis, or Jorge Bergoglio there, with a hammer and sickle with Jesus, a picture of a Catholic Jesus, you know, the one that's still on the cross. Well, this time he's on the hammer and the sickle. And Jorge there seems very amused by this little trinket that he's being gifted with by one of his dictators. Oh, anyway, a great picture for this article from Technocracy News. And let's see, some Catholics consider Pope Francis to be a Marxist. Well, he is a Marxist. There's no doubt about it. Marxism is like the dream economy for the Antichrist and his shadow government. It's where they get to fully implement everything they want. Total control. Of course, they hate liberty. Individual liberty is the worst kind of liberty there is. People just cannot make their own decisions. They need someone to make their decisions for them, because every time people get liberty, according to the Antichrist, they end up making the wrong decisions. The decisions that don't agree with the Mother Church. Let's see. He is a Marxist. He's using his position to organize and orchestrate the entire planet into full-blown sustainable development. And, yes, technocracy. Our author is a little biased there for the term technocracy, since he has the website technocracy.news. But usually good articles there. I'm not sure where he is on prophecy, whether he holds the papacy to be the seat of the Antichrist, as do, you know, true Reformed Christians, or they should be, I mean, true Protestants. You have Reformed Christians that aren't Protestant because there's no protest left in them. They forgot why they were called Protestant anyway. Anyway, in his sponsorship of a March 2020 economic summit, Economy of Francesco, Francis calls for a different kind of economy, a new economy, and sustainable development. In Laudato Si, the word sustainable was used 21 times to convince readers that UN-style sustainable development, also known as technocracy, holds the future of the world. And as we've discussed here many times, the UN is, the United Nations is, the New World Order. Okay? But however, in a true application of the Hegelian dialectic, Francis attacks the technocratic paradigm by stating the technocratic paradigm also tends to dominate economic and political life. And that's the part of the technocracy that overrides or takes power unto itself. And Antichrist doesn't like that. He wants all power. And that's his goal, is to obtain all power. So whatever part of the so-called technocratic paradigm that the Antichrist, or and his shadow government do not like that infringes upon their power, well, that they will take down as soon as they have the means of doing it. And believe me, they're working on all means to take down all power that interferes with their true desire. And that is basically to rule the world as the Antichrist did for 1260 years in prophecy history. The author, and it goes on, our friend from Technocracy News. Anyway, you can check that out at Technocracy News or technocracy.news there. That article. I did find another article I found very interesting, and it contained, this came from Butch Paul. You can hear him on First Amendment Radio. Again, not eschatologically reformed yet. There's a lot of reformed people, reformed in thought. They believe in, you know, faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone is our salvation, and that Jesus Christ is our head of the church. It's not a man who sits on a throne over in the Vatican. So at least biblically and theologically reformed, if not eschatologically yet. But, well, that's part of my job, is to introduce people to reformed, fully developed reformed eschatology. And that would be historicism, and specifically premillennial historicism. Anyway, found this in this article, and he's doing a piece on Edward Mandel House and his contributions to the New World Order, beginning with Woodrow Wilson, you know, that our infamous president from the early last century, who gave to us or turned us over to the shadow government and the Antichrist by giving up the monetary system of America and helping to pass the Federal Reserve Act. And I call it the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, because that's where the Antichrist got his bankers in to rob us of our money. Anyway, this is a record of a conversation between Edward Mandel House and President Woodrow Wilson. And I quote this article here. "Very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property." Now, this was a very forward-looking thing, because this is where technocracy comes in and plays a part. And as many people have rightly stated, that you could not have technocracy until you had the technology to go along with it, or, you know, the true dream of world power and control over every individual that the Antichrist has always dreamed of. So, every American will be required to register their biological property in a national system designed to keep track of the people, and that will operate... Oops, I'm getting echo here. Sorry about that. Turn down my monitor. "And will operate under the ancient system of pledging." It's very interesting that he would say that, the ancient system of pledging. "By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being unable to work and earn a living." And wow. "If you refuse to be registered, as myself and very few others, it really does hit the bottom line. You can't make a lot of money. Because, you know, with not registering, not being part of their socialist security numbering system, they have been incrementally over the last 20 years removing or alienating me from rights and privileges that are supposed to be mine as an American and citizen or a citizen of the state in which I live. But I've seen them incrementally take those things away. That's a different subject, perhaps. But they will be forced to register. But is anyone really forced? And you notice, what kind of force are we using here? Or they'll be unable to work and earn a living. Now, if you're forced, you know, if they stand over and, or visit everyone and force them at the point of a gun to register or suffer death, well, then they won't be unable to work. They'll be dead. So this is a subtle force. This is not a force of our, because no one's forcing me to participate in socialism. I have the right to, as an American citizen, you know, in the land of the free, I have the right to not participate. But I have been suffering the loss of rights and privileges ever since I made that decision. And the laws have, since the time, you know, 25 or so years ago when I made the decision to withdraw because of my, for conscience sake, then I've seen that year after year, they keep, you know, taking away more rights and privileges and immunities that are due me as a U.S. citizen and or a citizen of one of the several states. For instance, the last thing that was taken away from me was the ability to get a passport. Obama signed that away from me, I think in 20, whatever, you know, in the last decade sometime, I was not able to get my passport renewed. So for no reason whatsoever, but the law is, there was given power to the Secretary of State to, at their own discretion, deny passports. At their own discretion. Regardless of the fact that the law that underlies that discretion has not been violated by me, and it doesn't put me in a category that I should be refused, but they have discretion to refuse me. So they took my money, you know, what, $200-$300, and Federal Reserve bucks, that is. Buck is a better word for Federal Reserve note than a dollar, because a dollar is technically in, defined as a unit of measurement, but you have to have something to measure, don't you? Anyway, they took my money and then refused to give me a passport. And I guess I could go ahead and file a lawsuit against them. But, you know, I probably would lose, and I can't find anyone that will, any of our so-called freedom, legal freedom foundations or anything that will take up the battle with or for me. Anyway, they will be our chattel, okay? After he says every American will be forced to register or suffer being unable to work and earn a living, they will be our chattel. We will hold the security interest over them forever. By operation of law, merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent. Now, I'm not certain what the bill of lading is. It's, you know, some people say it's the birth certificate. I'm not sure about that. Are they really trading in birth certificates? I don't know. Some people say they are, and I don't know what the bill of lading is. But I do know that there is a contract, and under the Constitution, we have a right to contract, and the government can't interfere with the right of contracts. But they can use the right of contracts because they offer everyone a contract when they go down and apply for a Social Security account number. Some people just go down, they want the number so they can work, so they can register to be able to work rather than register or suffer being unable to work. And that's a, you know, that's a good thing that people want to go out and work. But they got tricked into signing a contract, a social contract, a social security contract to, in order to work, forever to remain economic slaves through taxation secured by their pledges. And see, here's the problem. They won't even let you pay federal taxes unless you register. So it cuts you out of their total, their whole employee, employer scheme. Because that's what it is. You know, there are private employment agencies out there and you can sign up for them. And they're, of course, they're sub agencies under the Social Security system. Okay. They're sub agencies, but the Social Security system, the Social Security SSA, whatever they call it, it is the prime system for employment in the United States. It's like the Federal Reserve. If you want to have a bank, you can go out and get a bank, but you have to get your charter from the one that has the monopoly under the law in the United States. And that's the Federal Reserve banking system. They have the monopoly. You can't just go out and start your own bank, and you can't just go out and start your own employment agency. You have to sign up as a sub-agency under the Social Security system. And that's all they do, is they make a living underneath. You know, it's kind of like getting into real estate in California. You can't just go out and open up your own real estate office. You have to work under a broker, someone who has a brokerage license from the state. And then take a course and pass your test and get your real estate license to work under a broker. Okay. And that's the way they set things up. So basically the Social Security system or Social Security, whatever. So what do they call it? I guess the Social Security system, department or whatever they call it over there. It is the prime employment system in America. And of course you have unemployment's part of it and all that. You know, it's all just part of it. But if you don't work through them, you don't work because they've got everybody to sign up voluntarily and contract with them. So when you sign up to get a number so you can go to work, you're not just signing up to get a number so you can go to work. That's what most people think. No, you're signing up for everything that embodies the Social Security law and that system. You're signing up to sign your life away. And that's exactly what Edward Mandel House here is talking about, or was talking about, over 100 years ago when they were putting this plan into action. This plan started to develop about the end of the 19th century. It got implemented in the beginning of the 20th century. And by the end of the last century, you know, probably 98% of Americans are signed up for this scheme, voluntarily have signed the contract to get the number and be part of the system, declaring themselves incompetent to manage their own financial affairs. And then, of course, complementary to that, if you have the number, then you have to fill out your inquisition, your financial inquisition forms every year, because you have contracted to do that. That's part of the law. So they even prosecute people for not fulfilling their contract. What is it? Failure to file. Things like that. You had an obligation and they're going to throw you in jail or punish you somehow for failing to file, for failing to keep the obligation that you contractually signed up for. So Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent. And that's what you are. When you sign up for Social Security, you declare yourself bankrupt. You declare yourself an insolvent. And going further than that, you declare yourself incompetent, unable to take care of yourself. You need a daddy, a father figure, a father, you know, parens patriae. The state is your father. You need a father to take care of you. You need a daddy to take care of you. And that's what you've signed up for. And like, as he said, unknowingly or unwittingly or both. And what happens when you finally wake up and you go, what on earth have I got myself into? Or what did my parents get me into? And see, when you discover what you got, your parents got you into, you can decide to get out. You have a certain amount of time when you find out you've been defrauded to do something about the fraud. The law supposedly covers that so that you can withdraw and say, well, you know, I found out that I've been defrauded or my parents were defrauded and they entered me into something, me being a free thinking man, able to make my own decisions finally. And according to my own conscience, I choose to withdraw. Of course, the price to pay for withdrawing is you lose everything that you signed up for. But hey, you signed an open-ended contract. You can't change the contract unless you go through channels and your representatives in the state, and who've also signed up for the contract. So they now work for the same thing. So if you want to change the law, but there's probably very little you can do about it. I mean, the guys who are in charge of changing the law, look what they've done, they've signed up for, they've raised their salary up to way beyond what most of us will get in our lives. And not only that, even if they've worked their job for only 4 years, they get their salary for the rest of their lives. Do you get that deal? Only socialism can do that. Only a fiat usury currency can do that. And that's what Edward Mandelhouse was talking about. See, after all, this is the only logical way to fund government. Yes, that's what Edward Mandelhouse says. Because they were tired of it. I mean, they did not like having to actually get taxes. It was hard to make people pay taxes when they had real money. When people had to work hard for real money, when they had to get that gold and rip it out of the ground and that silver, or they had to grow crops on the land, and that was their money. Their money was substance. It had real value, and we had real money, and that's what we were trading, real money, real substance, and real value. And the government had to get part of that. That was difficult for the government, not when they wanted unlimited spending to be able to spend anything they wanted. This was not what they wanted. After all, this is the only logical way to fund the government, by floating liens and debt to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. I'll check the chat room on the break. But when we come back from the break, I'm Nicholas Arthur. You're listening to Cross the Border, our prophecy reality news segment. Okay, so any comments, questions in the chat room, phone calls, we can take them in the next segment. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app. for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's a Prophecy Reality Edition. And let's finish up where we left off before the break. Then we'll jump in the chat room and perhaps have some conversation there. Let's see. This will inevitably reap to us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Social security basically has the same type of name no matter what country you're in. Without realizing it, every American, every person on earth basically, will insure us for any loss we may incur, and in this manner, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office of the president of our dummy corporation to foment this plot against America. And so anyway, you can see the plot has worked out very well for the shadow government and their operatives. And, you know, they all have their own motivation, usually for profits for themselves, because you notice everyone usually high up and pushing the buttons and the agenda, they always get very rich, while the people at the bottom get very poor, and have to pick up all the costs of everything, of all of their schemes. Anyway, so much for Pope Francis. And anyway, they've got several things coming this year. May, oh, that's, yeah. Anyway, so we know the plan of the Antichrist and his shadow government. Let me check in the chat room here, for there are a few people in there. We got down the S. I don't know what that means. To put your name and your moniker in the chat room, you're limited to 10 spaces, 10 characters. So if you put spaces in, you get nothing. So down the S, we don't know what that means or if it means anything, but I'm going to guess that's Mark in the chat room, down the S. And of course, WW, good to see you here. I haven't seen you in a long time. The Huskow, isn't that, you been in jail, man? Or is that, you're not saying where you've been, right? Says, where have you been? Long time no see, where you been, man? And he says, the Huskow. Have you been a bad boy, or you're in jail because you're a good boy? Oh, he says, I slept in a few months. Okay. Yeah. Still over there on the other coast, huh? On the east coast there. Okay, let's see. What do we got here? Down Nicholas, Matthew 16:28. I guess he wants a comment on Matthew 16:28. Let me think. Verily I say to you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Ah. I don't know. Let me see. What does that mean? Verily I say to you. And of course, he must have been talking about some of his disciples. And did they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom? Yeah, well, you know, I'd rather study this out than just off the cuff try to give an answer. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he shall reward every man according to his works. There be some standing here which shall not taste death. So they would taste death. So till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I don't know. Did Jesus come in his kingdom before he said this, or after he said this? I would say yes. I mean, when Jesus rose from the dead, did he come in his kingdom? I don't know. That's probably the only way I could look at it right off the top of my head. There were many that, when did they see him? After death, when he was the resurrected Messiah, was he in his kingdom? Was he the king of the universe? Yeah, that's what I'd have to put it there. Okay. I don't have to tie it with these other things. Because he says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Okay. Now this is spread out over time, basically, because you have the first resurrection and the second resurrection. You have the first death and the second death. So verse 27 there, that statement there would encompass all of that, and there's no reason that it cannot. And then he says, truly I say to you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, where was he? He said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he said, some of you. And was he just speaking to the 12, or was he speaking to 70 disciples? I don't know at that time. I'd have to get back in here and study this out. But I think this would be him. They saw him come in his kingdom when he rose from the dead, because it certainly wasn't any other kingdom but his. And so I guess that's how I'm going to have to answer that one. Okay, I hope that's good enough for you. But it's something to ponder and think about. Yeah. Regardless. Okay. It says read from the start of the chat. Oh no, that's a lot of reading. Can I wait till after the broadcast before I do all that reading? You can reiterate something, or you could even call in. And that would be great if someone would call in. Good to see you here in the chat room, Smoke, Carrie Ann, and WW. It's good to see some people who've been around for a while, even if everyone else has abandoned me. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I can go back to the start of the chat there. Who shall not taste death? Okay, well, that's, yeah. That's a lot to read. Okay. So, if you want to ask another question, I'll watch for it there. Okay. What else am I going to do? Well, yeah. We're talking about who has an ear to hear, let him hear. At the end of this earth, after Christ's reign, those who are not saved will have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. And yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I'm a millenary Christian. I believe in the millennial reign of Christ physically and literally on the earth. And I hope that that's come across. And that's partly what the book I'm writing now, is about. And I don't know. I'm thinking about, working on it for another year, actually, and just trying to do a complete work on everything. And that way I can be done with it all instead of continue. 'Cause, you know, not many people are really, you know, reading the books I've already written. So do I really need to write more books or do more broadcasts? I mean, what can I say that I haven't already said? Oh, something. And I think of new things I could say all the time, like Brexit, you know, yay, you know, the British Isles broke away, from the economic, EEC or EUC or whatever they call that thing over there, European Economic Community over there. And I think that's a great thing. But should we really be surprised? This is like history repeating itself. Again, the same tenth of the kingdom falls away from a new concentration of power, you know, in the earth. And anytime you see someone trying to concentrate power, you know that the Antichrist and his shadow government are there at work. I mean, they did it in America. Think about it. We had the Confederation of States or Articles of Confederation, where there were 13 colonies of 13 separate states. They were colonies, then they became separate states, separate countries. It was like Europe. You've got all those countries over there. You know, that's what the United States were like. They were separate countries. So they were the United States by treaty. They weren't a nation before the Constitution. And that's all the Constitution was for. Excuse me. That was the con of the Constitution, to concentrate power in Washington, D.C. And that's the whole reason for the Civil War. Did you know that? I mean, it wasn't in 1860. Yes, like the UN. But it wasn't in 1860 that the Southern states started to leave the Union. They started leaving a decade before that. They said, we're done with this, man. You know, we don't like this concentration of power. You know, we've tried it out for 50 years and we don't like it. We want to withdraw and we reserved. When we joined this United States of America, the Constitution, we reserved the right to withdraw, because before that, it was not the United States of America except by treaty between the states. when the Civil War came about, it wasn't over slavery or because suddenly there was a threat to the Union. It was because the shadow government was losing its concentration of power in Washington, D.C. That's what the Civil War was all about, was maintaining the concentration of power in Washington, D.C. And it worked. They duped someone like Abraham Lincoln into taking up their cause, to keeping the states together at any cost. And, you know, he had no idea that what the cost would be. I mean, if he had known that the cost was going to be 400,000, you know, hundreds of thousands of the fathers and sons of the states, it probably wouldn't have gone for it. But if he had learned from history, yeah, if he had known all of the struggles of Western Europe to keep the concentration of power there at the Vatican for 1260 years, the cost in lives, the hundreds of millions that wanted to withdraw and cost their lives for doing that. Yeah. But people don't learn from history. Yeah. Well, they used Abe as long as they could. Patrick, welcome to the chat room, says Abe was killed for opposing the new monetary system. Now, that was pretty much the last straw for them. That's right. They couldn't have them take their money power away, because they wanted, you know, I mean, he was printing greenbacks. He was taking a page out of their playbook by resorting to fiat currency. But that wasn't for Abe to do. That wasn't for the United States Treasury to do. They wanted that power for themselves. And it took them another 50 years to pass it into law for their Federal Reserve coup to take place. Yeah. Took him another 50 years to get that. Yeah, Abe was a dupe. He was their dupe until after the war, when he wanted to restore the South to its original footing. That's why they tried to, impeach his Vice President Johnson, because he was going to carry on what Abe wanted to do. Man, they wanted to punish the South. They wanted to totally resort to impoverishing them and becoming abject slaves of the North is what they wanted. That's why they wanted to impeach Vice President, now President Johnson, after Abe was killed. But he stood up and opposed him, but, you know, it only delayed things a little while. That's all it did. And finally, 50 years later, got their coup. They got the monetary system of America, and they cashed in. Why did they kill him then? They were done with him. He was opposing them because he wanted to restore the South. He was against letting them have their way, and he printed money. He didn't borrow money from the bankers, from the Western European, from the Vatican bankers, because he would not borrow money. He was going to print his own. And it was customary for nations to borrow money, not print it. Okay? And, yeah. Okay. Any other comments, questions, phone calls, anything? Come on over to the chat room. I don't know. Should I go for another hour like this, or should I play some more history for you? You know, and that's, I've started playing history now. I'm going to go through the entire, like I said, it may take me a couple of years to get through it. The entire history of Protestantism by James A. Wiley. And it's a lot of work to do this. See, Carrie Ann told me she was reading a book. What was the name of that book she was reading? Oh, Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. How'd that turn out? I wish I had time to read that. It isn't that long to, 100 pages approximately. But, you know, it's good to see people reading history. So maybe you can tell me, why did the Jesuits kill him? Why did they kill Lincoln? Yeah. Why was it a Catholic conspiracy? Yes. Very interesting. Perhaps after you read the book, Carrie-Anne, I could have you on as a guest and we could discuss it. Wouldn't that be great? Patrick says, what is a good email address? I sent to me at, a good email address? You mean me at nicholasarthur.info? Carrie-Anne says, very good. Yeah, that would be great. Maybe, because I think that you expressed that you wouldn't mind doing some narration. So, but you could practice it when you're reading the book. It's much better to practice reading out loud and practice it as if you're going to narrate it. I mean, because I used to love it when, you know, my children were younger and my grandchildren were younger. I guess that now I got to work on great-grandchildren if I get any of those very soon. But reading to them books and dramatizing them a little bit. And I still don't think I'm very good at it myself. Not as good as, say, Tom Fress is. And, you know, unfortunately, we lost Tom Fress. He's not going to do it anymore. So, I'm very sad about that because his talent is now not being used for whatever reasons. But that's between him and the Lord. He's got to do what he's got to do. Okay, well, thanks for showing up, Carrie-Anne. Appreciate you showing up for the little while you're able to there in the chat room. Well, should I stick around for another hour and just go on like this? I need some input. I need some calls or some good questions in the chat room. Yeah, well thought out questions are good questions. Okay, well, I'll think about it. Or I might just, like I said, play history if I don't... Seeing Patrick says, I've often thought I'd be good at voiceovers. Well, like I said, you know, get Audacity. It's free. It's an audio recording program. It's probably the best one you can get out there now is Audacity and record, you know, 25-minute segments because we play two of those each hour. And if you think you're good at it, if you can do voiceovers, but I mean, it's a lot of work. Don't think it's easy, man. It's not easy because you have to read everything first. Otherwise, you're going to stumble over it if you're reading it for the first time. You got to know how to pronounce weird names and places and stuff. And sometimes you can look them up, or you just have to agree with yourself that this is how I'm going to pronounce it, and try to be consistent at doing that. And let's see. Patrick says, I got kicked out of the church for challenging futurism. You belong here then. You found a home at First Amendment Radio and crossed the border, Patrick. Yeah. So anyway, that would be great. I'd love to have you on for a segment. We could just talk about that. That would make a great show. So that would be great. So I'm looking forward to having Carrie-Anne on for a half hour or 25 minutes. And Patrick, we're going to discuss that someday for a segment. Just give me the questions I should ask you and I could do an interview. That would be great. You know, or key phrases, things that we can use to prompt the discussion. I would love to do that with people out of my audience. And that goes for down the S too. If you got any questions or comments or things, you know, give them to me. Come on in and you can ask me the questions and I can give you what I think is the best answer, especially if I have time to, you know, study it and pray about it and come up with a Holy Ghost, well thought out, answer. Because, you know, God doesn't want us to just be dummies out here. We have to study to show ourselves approved and to be able and ready to give an answer for everything. 50 Years in the Church of Rome book by Charles P. Chinnicky ad. Oh, thrifty, thrift books. Yeah, you can get that free here it is right here. Go to archive.org and you can download any of these books are there for free if you want the originals. And that's the place to go, is to archive.org and then search the name and you'll come up with several or more than several of each title that you can choose from, whichever one's most readable for you. But the Internet Archive at archive.org is great. Some of these where you buy them, all they do is print out the PDFs that you find at archive.org. And there is a cheaper way to do that, too. You can open up your own account at Lulu, become an author, get your own author page at Lulu, and you can print out any PDF you want for your own use at cost. Little secret there. It just takes a few minutes of your time to set up a Lulu account, and you can do that. And you can do it privately, okay? And you can print out any PDF privately. If anything's copyrighted, you have to do it privately because you can't sell it, okay? But if it's not copyrighted, if it's, it's something that you might want to check into if you're looking for, rather than paying somebody, you know, $30, $40, $50 for a copy of an old PDF book that you can get on archive.org for free, you can get the same book printed for like $8 or $10 or $12, depending on how big the book is, how many pages, because you pay for it by the page. But anyway, there's a little secret way to do things for you out there. Anyway, I'm about to run out of time in this segment, and I guess I'll think about it, and maybe I'll come back after the break, or maybe it'll be history. Okay, you've been listening to Across the Border. My name's Nicholas, and I want to thank everybody for showing up today. Please enjoy the history segments coming up, and may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Until we meet again.